pops, free snow cones. There will be more after service. How were the snow cones, by the way? Were those good? I think every human was created to love snow cones. Somehow, we just all love them. They're good stuff. But hey, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, towards the end of your Bible. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, how many of you guys are sixth graders? Sixth graders, very nice. Now, you sixth graders, a lot of you, or probably none of you, have been here for this series that we're doing in Hebrews chapter 11. We actually haven't done this since the middle of May, but we're going to continue it on tonight. It's called the Hall of Faith, and basically what we're looking at, Hebrews chapter 11 is an entire chapter dedicated to the subject of faith and people who were faithful. And so we're going to be studying that over these next few Wednesdays. Of course, next Wednesday's Q&A buffet, so that'll be sweet. But as we continue on after that in the summer, we'll be continuing in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. So expect that on Wednesday nights. But let me remind you, for those of you who have been here, let me remind you of what we did talk about. And then also for those of you who haven't been here, let me kind of enlighten you with what we've talked about so far. First of all, in the middle of May, we started studying this, and in our first week, we learned the definition of faith. We looked at Hebrews chapter 11 and the first three verses, and we learned that without faith, our desire to please God is like mission impossible, okay? It's completely impossible without a true faith in God. You can't do it. You cannot please God without faith. In fact, it says that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, it is impossible to please God without faith. So that was our first week. We got the definition of faith. Our second week, we got the depiction of faith. And we learned from Abel, Enoch, and Noah. You guys may remember those guys from the Old Testament. We learned about these guys' lives, and we saw how faith in God is either all or nothing. It's one or the other. You can't kind of have faith in God. You can't kind of be a Christian. You either are or you're not. We talked about how in the Bible it tells us we should be living sacrifices. You can't kind of be a sacrifice. You either have sacrificed it all or you haven't. So that's kind of where we're at. And this week, of course, you notice on the back of your bulletin, I've entitled the message, Sit Down, Shut Up, and Hold On. God is in control. Now, why did I say that? Why did I tell you guys all to shut up? Because, I'll tell you why tonight. But a lot of times, we like to be in control, especially as Americans. You know, humans, in general, I would say like to be in control of their circumstances, their lives, the way things are happening, but especially Americans, okay? We love to control things. In fact, we're control freaks. We have remote controls for everything. You guys may have realized that. You got them for DVD players and TVs and, you know, I would say VCRs, but nobody really has those anymore. We got ceiling fans. We have garage door openers. In fact, in my truck, when I got my truck, it came with the stereo in the truck with a remote control, okay? A stereo inside my truck with a remote control. Like I can't reach the stereo, you know? It's like the epitome of laziness to me. Like, oh man, where's that remote? When I could just reach right here and change the channel, you know? But no, I can't extend my arm quite that far because that could cause like elbow problems or something, you know? So I need to keep it in this position with the remote to be changing, you know, or whatever. And so we have controls for everything. We love to be in control. In fact, I read that, how many of you guys are American Idol fans? Anybody? The closest person to me is a big American Idol fan, Jen, and her whole family is. And so Tuesday night, it was always a tradition to head over to their house and watch the show. But I found out that in season 5 of American Idol, The finale, there were about 63 million votes cast. 63 million. Can you believe that? In fact, that's about as many as were cast for each president when we had the elections. Can you believe that? That is a lot of votes. a lot of votes, 63 million votes. So why is it that America loves reality TV so much? Because they get to control the outcome, right? Because we're in control, because we get to cast our vote, because we get to say that we like this person or we don't like that person. We love to be in control of things. In fact, I got a Christmas gift this last Christmas from my sister. I happen to really like this Christmas gift. I keep it in my wallet, and it gives me control of just about any circumstance. You guys got any guesses on what this might be? Chocolate? No. Not a gun. Not a credit card. Money? No. No. Let me tell you. You guys ready? Here it is. It's the dibs card, okay? Now, with this card, I now have dibs on anything, all right? So, you know, hey, I'm going to a concert, and everybody's rushing in. I just walk in. You know why? Because I got dibs on front row seats, all right? And if anybody wants to fight me, pull out the dibs card, you know? Excuse me, I got dibs. And they're all, no, you don't. Hold on, let me find the, right here? Dibs, dibs, all right? And they're all, dang it. Hey, guys, he's got dibs. We got to go, you know? Or maybe after service, everybody's so excited. Hey, free snow cones. Hey, guys, dibs. I got dibs, free snow cones, all right? You know? Yeah, I like it upside down, all right? And then, yeah, I got dibs up. I got upside down dibs too, okay? So don't you even worry. And then also, check this one out. You know, maybe a movie is about to sell out, okay? Dibs. I got dibs, all right? All of a sudden, I pull up and I open my car door. I got dibs for parking in the fire lane, all right? I got dibs for cutting in line. And then I get dibs for free movie tickets, you know? Forget Fandango. He's whack, right? I got dibs. So my sister and I were joking around about that, but she decided to turn it into a Christmas gift for me, and I was pretty excited about it. Gives me the feeling of control. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people don't accept dibs cards, you know? They don't accept American Express and dibs cards and all that kind of thing, but I wish. That would be nice. It would give me a lot of control, but we love to have control, okay? And our obsession with control makes this idea of surrender and sacrifice when it comes to Jesus seem completely odd. Like, man, why would anybody want to surrender control to their life? I don't get it. And our desire to have control over everything in our lives and all of our circumstances makes this idea of surrender seem crazy. Like, what is going on? Wait, you're telling me that if I'm going to go to heaven, I have to give control of my life to Jesus? That guy's not even on the earth anymore. What are you talking? No way. I am not doing that. Okay? And a lot of people would say that. No way. I can't be in control of my life. Are you kidding me? I'm done. I don't want anything to do with that because I want control. That's the natural human tendency. And in a lot of situations, you would probably agree, losing control is a bad thing. Okay? If you're a truck driver, you know, probably don't want to lose control, right? If you're cutting someone's hair, probably don't want to lose control. I mean, maybe you do, but if you're a heart surgeon, a brain surgeon, probably don't want to lose control, right? Here's the one word I never want to hear, although I don't think I could, but if I was in brain surgery, I never want to hear my doctor say, whoops. Never want that to happen, okay? If my brain is exposed, please don't use that word, all right? Please keep control. So there are plenty of circumstances where losing control is a terrible thing. However, let me tell you this. When you are losing control of your life and giving it over to Jesus Christ, it is the best decision you could ever make. There will be no regrets, and you will get to spend eternity in heaven because of that decision. Surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, losing control of your life and giving it to the Lord. And so when it comes to Christ, when it comes to surrendering, it is time for us to sit down and shut up and hold on Because God is in control. And we're going to see that tonight through the life of Abraham. We're going to learn about this guy actually in these next couple weeks as we study in the Hall of Faith and some amazing things that God did in this guy's life because Abraham was a man of faith. Losing control, giving it to God is the best thing you could do. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Read the first part of our text tonight, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God, we just come before you right now, and we do thank you for faith. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. But so often the focus is on what else you can do for me. Lord, we don't want it to be that tonight, Lord. Help us to serve you. Help us to turn it around and see how we can minister to the people around us. And Lord, instead of praying, God, bless me with this or bless me with that, Lord, we pray tonight that we would bless you with the way that we live, with the faith, the measure of faith that you have given to each one of us. So Lord, help us learn tonight through the life of Abraham what it is you want to do in and through us, and help us to be obedient to that. In your name we pray. Amen. Number one on the back of your bulletin, when God is in control, you can obey what God says. You can obey what God says. Look again at verse 8, the very first part. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. So what was the key to Abraham's obedience? It says, by faith Abraham obeyed. The cool thing about that in the original language, it's written basically saying, as God was calling Abraham, he was obeying. It was almost simultaneously. Inasmuch as God was saying the words almost, and Abraham was already obeying. Immediate response to God's call. And so it says, by faith, Abraham responded. Abraham obeyed. And you know what's funny is that a lot of people think that obeying God was their good idea. Wrong, okay? Let me tell you what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 2, we've read it before. Ephesians chapter 2 says that apart from Jesus Christ, do you know what we are? What does it say? Dead. Dead. Apart from Jesus Christ, we are completely dead. We are hopeless. We are useless. And we are spiritually separated from God. And we have no eternity to look forward to. We do have an eternity, but that's spent in hell. That's apart from Jesus Christ. We're dead. And so you would probably agree that something that's dead or someone that's dead doesn't just have good ideas on their own. Like that, you know, there's like a dog, you know, laying in the road. And all of a sudden it just gets up and like, hey, I got a good idea. I'm just going to go for a walk. Dead dog can't do that, right? Nothing that's dead, nothing that doesn't have life in it can do anything that means anything. Apart from Jesus Christ, that's how we are. Completely dead. We're useless. Dead things don't have good ideas. It was not our good idea. Like one day we were like, hey, you know what? I should probably start obeying God. That wasn't our good idea. That was God's idea. He placed it in our heads. Genesis chapter 12 is where you'll find the story. Starting there in Genesis chapter 12 through about chapter 25, I believe, you'll find the story of Abraham. And his life, his family, the sons and daughters that he raised in his house. But Abraham was a good man. And God told him in Genesis chapter 12 to leave behind the comfort of his home, his family, his friends, and to just get out of there. And it was only by faith that Abraham was able to take a step like this. Because I'll bet to a lot of people around him, it sounded pretty crazy. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys have moved before? Moved houses, moved cities, something like that. Probably most of us. When you tell one of your friends, hey, guess what? I'm moving. What's the first question they ask you? Where? Exactly. Like, where are you moving? Down the street? In a different county? In a different city? In a different nation? You know, where are you going? Where are you moving? Now, think about Abraham. God said, hey, Abraham, get up, take your wife, take your kids, and get the heck out of here. Now, God didn't exactly say that, but close, okay? And he said, go to the land that I'm going to show you. He didn't tell him where. He didn't tell him what it looked like. So imagine Abraham. He says, hey, guys, we're moving. Oh, really? Where? I don't know. God just said to move, so we're moving. Can you imagine that? This guy probably, people probably looked at this guy and was like, that guy's crazy. He's just uprooting his family. He's leaving behind his job, his friends, and he's just moving to somewhere where God's going to tell him. That's weird. You know, people might have thought this guy was crazy. And think about it. Think about what God's asking here. He's saying, leave everything behind. Leave part of your family behind even. He left his dad. He left his parents behind. Everyone you know, all your friends, leave them behind. And go someplace that I'm going to show you. Oh, and by the way, while you're moving, you're also going to be, you're going to have a big family. Although your wife can't have any kids. So imagine what this guy's thinking. Okay, God told me to move, but he didn't tell me where. And then he said, I'm going to have a family, but my wife can't have kids. This is weird, all right? And it's probably not exactly lining up in his mind, but how was it that he obeyed? Do you remember the key? By faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Even when it didn't all line up in his head. Even when it didn't make complete sense. Abraham obeyed by faith. And so maybe some people would think, well, Abraham, you're right. You know, obedience wasn't his idea. That was God's idea. So Abraham couldn't obey on his own, but he did have enough faith on his own. Wrong. Again. Let me remind you that in Romans chapter 12, verse 9, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it lists faith as a spiritual gift. You know what that means? That means that only those of us who have accepted Christ and are a part of the Spirit can have that gift. It's a spiritual gift. And apart from that, apart from Jesus Christ, you can't have that. And so it's this amazing thing how God puts that into our lives and allows us to have faith. Faith and obedience are not our good ideas. We're dead apart from Jesus Christ. But because of what God did in this man's life, he had faith and he had faith enough to obey. And when God is in control, you can obey what God says. God has to be in control, though. Number two, when God is in control, you can go where God wants. Look at the second part of verse 8. The very last sentence. It says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, I go places all the time where I don't know where I'm going. But that's not necessarily because I'm a man of faith. That's because I'm what people like to call an idiot, okay? Because I don't know where I'm going. Because I can't focus while I'm driving. I can't talk and drive at the same time. I find myself going 10 miles an hour under the speed limit because I'm telling my life story. And I just missed a turn, you know? In fact, on the way to Mexico. Exactly. On the way to Mexico, we're in the van. Of course, I chose to lead. And I'm driving the van. And we're doing a Mad Lib in the van, okay? Not smart for me to be participating in because I drove right past our exit. So we had to go about 20 miles too far until we were finally able to find an exit, turn back around, drive the 20 miles back, and then take our exit to where we were supposed to be headed. I go places all the time that I don't know where I'm headed. But that's because I'm not paying attention. That is not why Abraham is going somewhere that he doesn't know. It's because he's a man of faith. It's because he trusts that God has his best in mind. Abraham was this kind of man. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Write that verse down. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, if you guys have ever been to a travel website, you've probably seen a picture of something like this here. It's got all kinds of the Caribbean, Florida, Hawaii, Las Vegas, Mexico, U.S. cities, cruises, rentals. It's got these pictures. And man, I started looking at those pictures today. That Caribbean, whatever that is, looks amazing, you know? And Florida looks really cool. Hawaii, all of that stuff looks amazing. And these people, you know, this one happens to be Orbitz, but you got stuff like Travelocity and Cheap Tickets and all these places that are travel companies. And what they're good at is making travel look very appealing. But you know what's crazy is that Abraham never got a peek at where he was headed. He didn't go like, hey, you know what, guys? Before we head out, let's MapQuest where we're going, okay? Wasn't like, hey, googlemaps.com, let's head there, and then we'll know the quickest route to get there. He couldn't go to Orbitz and check out what it looked like and where he would be staying, or what the view was going to be like, or what the people would be like. He didn't know any of this. God didn't email him an itinerary of his trip. He just said, go. He said, obey me, listen to my voice, and go. Go to the place that I'm telling you. Think back real quick with me. In fact, look back at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The definition, or part of the definition of faith. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because Abraham had faith, he was able to step out into the unknown. I love what this lady, Corrie Ten Boom, said. She was a survivor of the Holocaust. You may have heard of her. She said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Never be afraid to trust God with a future that you don't understand, because God understands it. And if anybody knew this lesson, it was Corrie Ten Boom. Her and her family were a part of saving Jews at the time of the Holocaust under Hitler. And they would hide these people. Every single day could have been her last day. Because, yeah, maybe yesterday went fine, but tomorrow, she might have thought, when I wake up, they might be at my front door. They might shoot me on the spot. And so she, if anybody knew, she knew to not be afraid to trust her unknown future to her known God. I love what another guy said. He said, if faith can see every step of the way, then it's not really faith. If faith can see every step of the way, then it's not really faith. Because faith is founded on what can't be seen. Do you remember that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7? We walk by faith, not by sight. I like also how this verse was translated. Another guy named Kenneth Wiest translated it this way. It says, and he went out not troubling his mind as to where he was going. He didn't have to worry about it. He didn't have to trouble his mind. He didn't have to get all worked up about where he was headed, because he knew that God was in control. Now, let me break this down onto a place that this applies to us. Because if we're real honest, God is probably not going to ask any of us anytime soon to get up and to leave our family and our friends and to go to a different land that we don't know. God may never ask that of us. And if he will, it probably won't be very soon. So how does this even relate to us? We understand that this is what Abraham dealt with. But how does this relate to us? Well, let me give you a few examples. Every single day, we have opportunities to step out in faith and to take steps of faith that may seem a little crazy, but to go up and to talk to someone that you feel like needs to hear what God's done in your life, to share with someone what God has done for you, to hang out with somebody who doesn't seem like they have a lot of friends, maybe gets made fun of, but you go out of your way to take a step of faith and show them the love of Christ. Stepping out in faith, knowing that God doesn't just look at what you're doing on the outside, but he looks at the inside. God cares about obedience. And so when God is in control, you can go where God wants. God will enable you. He will give you the faith and the boldness to go where he wants you to go. Number three, let's read verse 9. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So when God is in control, number three, you can enjoy where God has you. Now, have any of you guys ever found life hard to enjoy? Anybody? Kind of rough? I think all of us have been there. But enjoyment, really, if you think about it, is a pretty central part of human life. We all like to enjoy ourselves. In fact, I think if we could have the McDonald's logo for our whole lives, that would be great. I'm loving it. And we all wish that we could say that all the time. Hey, how's your day? I'm loving it. But unfortunately, we can't always say that. Unfortunately, sometimes life is hard to enjoy. And sometimes that's how it is, but sometimes it's pretty enjoyable. Sometimes we can find some joy. In fact, this morning, I had a very enjoyable experience. I woke up, went to my office. I spent some time reading and praying. I got up and I opened the door and I start walking down the hall and I smell something amazing coming from the kitchen. I'm like, man, what's going on? You know, usually it's raisin bran in the morning or something, you know, not much to look forward to, but I start walking down the hall and there's Jen in the kitchen cooking. And I was all, what in the world? This is already going to be a good day. Okay. And so I start looking and I realize that it's chocolate that she's mixing. And I immediately like started to drool almost, you know, like, oh, that sounds so good. And what it is, you guys may not have heard of this, but my mom used to make this dish called chocolate gravy. Okay. I don't know if you guys has anybody ever heard of that? Anybody? Okay. A few of you. Okay. Basically what it is you get these rolls and it's like probably the most fattening, unhealthy thing you could ever eat. But it's also the most tasty thing you could ever eat. And you get these rolls, and you put butter on them, so they're all nice and warm and buttery, exactly. And then you pour this chocolate sauce all over it. And then you just eat it up. And you get really fat, I guess, if you ate a lot of it or something. I didn't get fat this morning, but man, my taste buds were jumping for joy, okay? They were just having a party in my mouth. And I was just so stoked to be eating that because I honestly could not remember the last time I had that. It was probably before I was married when I was living at home years, years ago. And so I was just so excited to have that this morning. But sometimes life's not that easy. Sometimes we don't wake up with our favorite breakfast cooking for us. In fact, sometimes we wake up on what our moms might call the wrong side of the bed. That's what my mom called it. Kevin, did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning? Mom, I only have two sides, you know? Well, yeah, obviously you did wake up on the wrong side, right? But sometimes we wake up in a bad mood. Or we go to school and we fail a test. Or our friend says something to us that we didn't expect. Something happens at home or on the way to school, wherever it is. Sometimes life is just not enjoyable. But let's do this. Let's put ourselves real quickly into Abraham's sandals, all right? Let's take a walk with Abraham real quick. God tells him, leave your family, leave your friends, leave your job behind. Imagine God telling you that. And then he says, on top of that, I'm not going to tell you where you're going. Just be obedient. Listen to me. Go somewhere where I'm going to tell you. And then when you get there, imagine living as a stranger, not ever really fitting in, and never really being able to settle down. For the rest of your life there in that land, you live in a tent. And every once in a while, you just pick up and move somewhere else inside that land. Can you imagine that? It's kind of a rough place to be. Verse 10 tells us that Abraham was dwelling in tents. And I would say it would probably be pretty easy for Abraham to complain right here. And I don't know if he ever did. I'm sure there were times that he did. And don't get me wrong, Abraham made mistakes. However, Abraham found joy in his life because God was in control. And the cool thing is, you guys can have that joy too. I can have that joy too, despite how depressing and hard your circumstances might be. I think one of the best examples I've seen of that in a long time was, if you guys were here last Wednesday, we shared about our Mexico trip. And the family out there was one of the best examples of that that I had ever seen. Because they very easily could have been depressed by their circumstances. They could have gotten down on themselves and saying, man, you know, we just don't have money. And they could have gotten depressed. They could have gotten really sad because of the way that their house looked. You know, it was just built out of random things that they found on the ground. And they put it up so that they would have a roof over their heads. They could have been depressed about that. They could have been depressed that they didn't have a car. And that the car that they did have was sitting in their front yard on blocks and didn't even run. They could have been depressed that they didn't have running water or electricity or a phone. They could have been depressed about all of those things. But instead, you know what I saw in the lives of those people? They loved the Lord more than I had seen in a long time in somebody's life. These people, this family, loved the Lord. And because God was in control of their lives, because they had allowed God to take control, they could enjoy where God had them at that point in their lives. And thankfully, they can look forward to, even if this life never gets any better, even if this life gets worse, I know where I'm headed for eternity. This life is not it. You can enjoy, you can have that same joy right where you're at. I can't imagine living in a tent like Abraham. No foundation. In fact, I even heard of a guy this week who lives in New York. He built a tree house and he's renting it out to people. You believe that? $150 a month. People live in his tree house. No foundation. That'd be a little scary for me because I would. What are we clapping about? So exciting, I guess. So, no foundation. Think about it. No foundation. A storm comes and your house gets blown out of a tree and smashed on the ground. Not something I'm looking forward to. And listen up. A foundation is something we all want. We don't want to have to wonder where we're going to be living sometime soon. We want to be able to go home, have a place to rest and to lay down, to feel comfortable in. Abraham never had this. Abraham was always living in a tent or some other uncontrollable circumstance. But because God was in control of Abraham's life, he enjoyed where God had him in life. Number four, when God is in control, you can wait for God's promises. Look again at verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham knew that a city with foundation was coming. And maybe he'd never get to live in it on earth, but it was coming. And if he didn't get to do it on earth, he would get to for the rest of eternity. But this wasn't just any city with foundations. It says that its builder and maker was God himself. Pretty cool. Now, humans don't have a lot of patience. A lot of us want what we want right now, you know? And so you probably had the feeling before, you get a little impatient. Maybe you're standing in line or maybe whatever it may be. And you want what you want right now, how you want it. In fact, people wait all the time for things, though. Sometimes you have to. The opening of Krispy Kreme, you may even remember that. People like slept outside for that. Yeah. And then, you know, the opening of Chick-fil-A and Popeyes, there were lines wrapping around the building for those places because people were waiting to get in. They couldn't wait. Now, let me tell you, an event that I'm really excited for is having our first baby. I just can't wait. And this is such a cool thing. And I know, yeah, we're really excited about it. I know Nate and Lindsay are having their first as well. I know they're stoked as well. And I can tell you, speaking as a dad, that I'm just stoked out of my mind that I'm going to have a little Miller running around, you know? Like, I just can't even imagine that. But I'm just so excited. Now, let me remind you, how many of you guys have seen our first ultrasound picture? A few of you, I showed you guys. All right, check out the first picture. That was when the baby was about 9 weeks old, and it was about the size of this part of your pinky right here, okay? It was that small. It was very, very small. Okay, and you guys may remember, the first time I showed it to you, I realized as I looked at the ultrasound that it kind of looked like a gummy bear, and then I put some Converse on it, right? You guys may remember that. So I rocked some Converse on it. You know, the technology these days is just amazing how they can do that. And put him right next to his buddy, the gummy bear. But the crazy thing is, we went just last week, and we got another ultrasound. And it's only been about 6 weeks. 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks, and the baby has grown a lot. So much so that it's not the size of your pinky anymore. It's about the size of a fist, okay? So check it out. The baby has grown a lot. So you can see the nurse marked on there, face down at the bottom, and she tried to spell the head, but she left off the D. Body, and then knee in the back, and then at the top she put B, and she said that stands for butt, okay? So, hey. Quit looking at my baby's butt, all right? You sickos. Oh, you sickos. But anyways, it's grown a lot. It's not the size of a pinky anymore. It's about the size of a fist. And so, yeah, baby Miller. Power to baby Miller. That's right. And so it's grown a lot. I'm really excited about it. But you know what's funny is I realize that now it doesn't look like a gummy bear. It kind of looks like a gummy worm, you know? Like it's kind of stretched out and it was kind of moving around and wriggling, you know. And you know what else is cool? As the baby grows a little bigger, not only can you put Converse on it, but you can get it sized for a snowboard and get it all, you know, with the beanie, the goggles, snowboard, all that stuff. So, I mean, look at that. It's like pretending that it's on the slopes right now. So excited. I told it was going to have to wear some clothes when it goes snowboarding, but beanie and goggles are good starters. But as you can tell, I'm really excited to have our baby. You know, I mean, think about it this way. What dad plays dress up with their ultrasound pictures, you know? I mean, as far as I know, I'm the only one. And I'm a little crazy, but that's all right, because I'm excited, right? And in fact, even on my laptop, I have a countdown to the big day, December 6th. I can't wait for it. In fact, I looked at it today. By about this time, it's about 167 days, 5 hours, 4 minutes, and a few seconds away until December 6th. Okay? So I'm counting it down. And there's a lot of things in life to be really excited for. This would be one of them. As I told you, you know, the grand openings of restaurants are also exciting, and we can't wait for them. You know, we have things to look forward to. You guys have high school to look forward to. You have driving, getting married, you know, 99-cent Frosties at Wendy's. Those are always good, you know, all kinds of good stuff. But check this out. Let me remind you of something that Paul wrote. Philippians 1, 23, he says, I'm torn between the two desires. Sometimes I want to live, and sometimes I long to go and be with Christ. One thing Paul was really excited about was going home to be with the Lord. Man, that is one thing that I could have 1,000 babies and combine all that excitement together, and it would not be as excited as I am to go to heaven for eternity. I am stoked out of my mind that Jesus Christ has considered me to go to heaven. And I'm so excited about that. And here's the great thing. Abraham knew that one day all of his wandering would be over. All of these hard times that he was dealing with, all of these not knowing where for sure he was going to be staying the next day, one day it would all be over. In fact, you can even read about it because about 100 years later, God fulfilled that promise. And in Genesis chapter 25, it tells us that Abraham went home to be with the Lord. He was 175 years old, and God took him home. And from that point on, Abraham never had to wonder again where he was going to stay or who was going to be there or if God was going to have to ask him to leave, because he had a firm foundation for the rest of eternity. And he's up there waiting for us. Isn't that amazing? So what's the result? Let me ask you this. What's the result then of obeying, of going, of enjoying, of waiting? What's the result of that? What's the point? Why should we sit down and shut up and hold on? Why is it that we should be living that way or be doing those things? Well, God blesses obedience. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. That's how many people came from the family of Abraham. Now, I think it's funny. What a description of these parents. Verse 11 says that Sarah was past childbearing age. Verse 12 tells us that Abraham was as good as dead. Can you believe that? Yeah, that's how he was described. That guy's so old, he's as good as dead. That's what the Bible says about Abraham. I hope nobody ever describes me like that. But that's how Abraham was described. His wife is past childbearing age, and he's as good as dead. You think they can have kids? Probably not, right? In fact, if it's left up to man, there's no way that'll happen. But nothing is too hard for God. And God showed up. And this description of these parents reminds us that it was a miracle for them to give birth to a son. And they gave birth to Isaac. And it was miraculous. Let me tell you that God wants control of your life. God wants complete control of your life. I want everybody looking right up here. God wants complete control of your life. I can't say that enough. I can't tell you how important that is. And the thing about God is that he's a gentleman. He's not going to burst into your life and demand that you give him control. He's not a terrorist. He doesn't come in with a bomb and make you surrender. That's not the way God works. God does not bang the door down. Instead, he says, guys, I've given up my son, Jesus Christ, to show you how much I love you. And it's up to you to accept that. And he's waiting for that. Maybe you guys have seen the sign on a car that says, God is my co-pilot. I always find that so interesting. All I know is that I'd hate to be in that airplane where God is just sitting in the passenger seat giving some suggestions, but the other person is controlling the flight. I hope God is not your co-pilot. I hope you don't just run to him when you need some advice, but that he is the pilot. And let me tell you something else. God doesn't need us as the co-pilot, you know? You may say, well, you know, I've thought that before, and so I'll just switch seats with God. Guess what? You don't need to be in the front seat at all with God. In fact, I think it's best for us to be in the back seat, buckled in, holding on, because there is a ride ahead of us. God wants to do incredible things. God wants to take us places we never thought we could go. And if it were up to us, we would never get there. So we have to trust in God. And let me tell you, as I was praying about this message, I really felt like there were people in this room tonight that needed to surrender it all to the Lord, to just give it all to God. And maybe God's speaking to you tonight and you realize you've never fully surrendered to God. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Here in just a minute, we're going to close with a song, and I'm going to have the leaders be around the room available to talk to you guys. But I really want to stress the importance of giving it all to the Lord. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. I don't care who you are, because God doesn't care either. His desire is that every single person would be saved and his name would be glorified. And if you're here tonight and you need to make that decision, can I just tell you there's something so freeing about putting up your hands and saying, God, I can't do it anymore. I want to surrender. I want to give it all to you. I don't want to control my life anymore. I want you to take over because I know if it's left up to me, I'm never going to make it. There's something so freeing and so releasing in that. And I want to challenge you guys to do that if you've never done that. So I'm going to have Ryan and Andrew come up here right now and close us with a song of worship. I want you guys to worship. I want you to focus on why we came. But also, I want you to remember that if you have something you want to surrender to the Lord tonight, go talk to a leader. Everybody pay attention. Talk to a leader. We're here for you guys. But most of all, God is there for you. And he's trying to get a hold of you tonight. So don't ignore him. Let's worship.